Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. Have you ever felt like you're failing your dog even when you are doing your absolute best? You love them so much but still feel like you're not good enough? That constant inner voice that's whispering, you should be doing more, you should be doing better. That right there is dog mum guilt, and it is so, so real. I want to talk about it because I've experienced it myself, and in today's episode we're going to talk about where it comes from, how it shows up, and what you can start to do to start letting go of it. I want it to be a gentle, honest, without shame letting go, because you're not a bad dog parent, you're just carrying too much, and these are the lessons that I've learned. So, I want to start by naming the guilt. Dog mum guilt can look like feeling bad after a tough walk, questioning yourself constantly, worrying that you've ruined your dog, beating yourself up for snapping when you are exhausted. And that's just a starting list. It can feel heavy, it can feel lingering, that like no matter what you do, it's just not enough. And most of us aren't talking about it because under all of those feelings, we feel ashamed to tell people that that's how we feel. So it just doesn't get talked about enough, but we really do need to talk about it more, because hiding our guilt only makes it grow more. And if we shine a light on it, that is exactly where the healing begins. So let's dig into where it actually comes from, because it doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It's rooted in our experiences, our expectations, and our emotional wiring. And I want to explore three of the most common causes for dog mum guilt. I'm going to go into a little bit of detail about each one, and I want you to listen and absorb and listen again if you need to. Write something down as you start to think about it, because until you're aware of it, you're going to be kind of stuck in that cycle. So, the first most common cause of dog mum guilt is having unrealistic expectations. You know, so many of us walk into dog parenthood with this picture perfect vision in our heads. We're imagining those lazy Sunday morning snuggles, peaceful walks in the park, and everyone commenting on how well behaved our dog is. Trust me, I was there all those years ago when I first brought Bonnie home with me. And then reality starts to hit. You might get some barking, reactivity can start to show up in at any age, but more so in teenage times. They start chewing the things that you love, and a feeling like you're constantly firefighting. It's no wonder we feel guilty when things don't go to plan. But here is the truth. Those visions that you had in your mind, they're built from highlight reels. It's social media, TV shows. I mean, the first TV show that springs to mind when I think about the TV show with a dog in it was from when I was growing up, and it was Frasier. Frasier had a dog called Eddie, so his dad had a dog called Eddie. And oh my gosh, this dog was so well trained. And he'd just sit where he was told to sit. He would bark when he was told to bark. He would go and get things. Honestly, he was so, so clever, this dog. And I think it's those kinds of things, if you've ever seen Frasier, it's those kinds of things that starts to make you think, oh, having a dog would be amazing. He made you laugh when he was on the screen sometimes with some of the things that he'd do. He was kind of the highlight of the show, and he was really well behaved. So as you grow up, you think, oh great, this is going to be amazing. And then when you're a child, you also don't really see the depths of all the things going on. So as a child, I grew up with my the first dog that I remember, Judy, and she was awesome. She was my absolute best friend in the whole world. But my mum and dad really struggled with her behaviour, and I just don't remember any of it. I just remember having this dog who played with me. She would lick my arm all the time. She loved me to bits and I loved her to bits. We would run around together, we'd play together. Like, it was great. But reality was that as I was growing up, she didn't like visitors coming into the house. She used to actually get quite angry when my dad was leaving the house, so there was some separation worries there. When he specifically went out to do something on a particular day, she would run after him and start to get a bit bitey with him. Lots of things going on for her emotionally, but as a child, you just don't see that. So you think you have these visions in your mind of what it's like to have a dog. And even if you didn't grow up with a dog, you might have well-meaning advice from people who have dogs in friends, family members, that kind of thing, who you just think, oh, that dog's so well behaved, they're just lying there asleep, and I'm looking now in front of me and Bonnie is fast asleep on the sofa, and you think, that's perfect, that's what I want. But like I say, it's a highlight reel. You were never meant to do this perfectly. You were meant to do it with love, patience and humanity, and that means getting things messy sometimes. It doesn't mean you've failed if you get things in an imperfect situation. Perfection doesn't exist, however much we like to think it does and however much we strive for it. And I am a recovering perfectionist, so again, I've been there. It just doesn't exist. So getting things messy, doing things imperfectly, figuring it out together, I think it just gets that bond built from a stronger place than rather than trying to drill all the things. So that's the first thing that links to dog mom guilt, and I think it's one of the biggest ones. Puppy parents tend to have it quite a lot more than anything else, because you have this ideal scenario in your head of what bringing a puppy home would be like, and then they might have toilet training troubles, they might be biting, they might be waking up so many times during the night and you feel exhausted, and then all the pressure is on you, and then you start feeling guilty for feeling resentful. And my voice gets quicker because that's the spiral that you start to get in your head. You start to get stuck in this negative spiral. So that's the first reason. The second one is comparison culture. It's one thing to feel like you're not doing well. It's another to constantly compare yourself to every other dog parent around you. You scroll through Instagram and see off-lead walks, cafe trips, beautifully decorated enrichment toys. I mean, oh my gosh. I have seen so many beautifully designed licky mats. It's just amazing, these creations. It's like art that people are creating. So then you just start questioning yourself. What am I actually missing? Why does my dog freak out at every person on the street? And then the deeper thoughts start to creep in. What's wrong with me? But remember, social media shows you the after photos, not the during. No one is filming their breakdown in the car after a tough walk. I do see some of this in my news feeds because of the kind of content that I have told the algorithm that I want to be able to follow. So I try and look for the raw, the real, the honest kind of content. And I do see more of that now than I ever have. But still, it is all out there, kind of having these perfect dogs who walk stuck to the side of these people's legs. No one is posting also about the time they sat on the floor crying because they didn't know what else to do. You're not behind, you're not broken, and you're definitely 100% not alone. So thinking about that comparison culture, who do you follow on social media? What kind of accounts are you following? Are you following those accounts where you constantly keep seeing these reels of perfect, seemingly perfectly behaved dogs? I would try and go out there and try and find some more of the real content. I share more real content in my newsletters. I have stories and I will definitely be sharing them on here. Anybody in my newsletter who's received and read the story and remembers the story of the 80-pound fleece, there is a story attached to that. join my newsletter if you would like more of these real, honest, raw stories. Because I think if you see more of that kind of content, it is definitely going to help you to feel less alone, therefore less guilty as a result of not being able to hit these perfect goals that you think other people are hitting. There is other things going on behind the scenes. There's questionable methods being used with some of these things as well. So that dog may be completely and utterly wired, walking on eggshells, not really sure what's happening. And they have to do these things because they've been made to a point of, if you do not do these things, you will get hurt or be made to feel uncomfortable. So they feel like they have to. None of that is real stuff. If we were forced to do all these things in the same kind of way, there is some fallout going to happen afterwards. So comparison is going to be one of the big reasons for dog mum guilt. And I want you to go out and try and find some more of those real accounts telling you more about the struggles of the training that they've gone through, the kind of things that they're struggling with on a daily basis or have struggled with in the past, because I think it will really help. And number three, this is a deep one and it's the heaviest one. Old wounds and internalized pressure. So we're talking about trauma. I'm a trauma-informed coach, worked with clients who have had trauma that comes back up when it's not been worked through. And this is working on yourself here, because it's not just about your dog. It's about what your dog's behavior triggers in you. For so many of us, especially those with people-pleasing tendencies, my hand's gone up there, or trauma backgrounds, mistakes and messiness feel unsafe. So our body is telling us, because of previous experiences and things that we've gone through, and it's all very personal to us. And when I say trauma, I do want to add a caveat there. I'm not talking about these big, huge events that have happened in people's lives that are very traumatic. You can also have tiny traumas that all build up to something. Nothing huge has ever happened in my life in that way, but there are things that have happened. I've had a certain type of upbringing that have meant that I have got those traumas that trigger those feelings of guilt, people pleasing, needing to get everything right in order to feel worthy. So obviously mistakes and messiness are going to feel unsafe if that is what your body has learned is going to happen. Something bad will happen if you make a mistake. So you feel like every bad walk is like a test that you failed. Every bark is a reflection on your worth. You might even hear old voices in your head, like the criticism of a parent, the judgment of a teacher, society's standards saying you should be doing better. And then suddenly you're not dealing with a behaviour, you're dealing with a tidal wave of shame that has absolutely nothing to do with your dog and everything to do with how hard you've been on yourself for years. Healing dog mum guilt means healing that part of you as well, and you're allowed to start to do that. This is, like I say, this is the deepest bit. If you have that awareness and you know that actually these are the things that have happened in my life, and you can go off and write down, it's called a trauma timeline, and it's a really good place to start just to think about some of the things that have happened in your life before now that may have triggered some trauma. So an example for me would be in primary school. I was picked on quite a lot. I'm tall. If you haven't seen me in person, anybody who meets me for the first time, they say, oh, you're tall. I didn't expect you to be tall. It's an obvious thing. I was one of the tallest people. So because I look different, people picked on me. And that is a trauma. I was verbally bullied. I was never physically hurt in any way. But the verbal abuse that I got from people about being tall made me not feel very good about myself. I'm not good enough because these people are telling me so. Therefore, things that crop up a bit later in life, like I say, some of those words that you hear from a parent, a friend, a so-called friend, if they are bullying you, they're not really a friend. a teacher's judgment or things that society tells us are right, that little trigger is going to be something that's held inside your body, and it's going to come out in a particular kind of way. And guilt can be one of those things. So I want you to just write down, and you can work through this as slowly or as quickly as you want to, but I think it's worth doing. Create your own trauma timeline and just write down all the things that you can remember going back, even if it's relatively recent, that you can think has been some kind of trigger, because that's going to just start to help you build that awareness. These are tiny traumas. These aren't huge, giant events in your life that you need to write down. It's just little things that you can remember. If you remember it, and it's from years ago, so me being picked on in primary school, I can remember what people said to me and how they said it and who they were when they said it and where we were stood. That is a trauma, because it's something that I've remembered in vivid detail, to the point where I was told that somebody who I was really close with was moving away because of me. People in my primary school were telling me that I was the reason one of my best friends was moving away. It wasn't, but I believed them because I was only 11 at the time, and I remember it vividly. So that is a trauma. So it's anything that happened in your past that triggers that kind of thought process. And it is deep and it is hard, but I've worked through these things, and it's taken 3-ish years of therapy so far to get to the place that I'm at. But you can definitely get there. So what do we do with all of this? We want to move through the guilt. So first we need to name it. Then we get curious about it. And instead of saying I'm just a bad dog mum, try asking yourself, what am I really feeling? Is this actually guilt or is it grief? And that could be grief for the peaceful walks that you imagined. It doesn't matter if it's not something that's happened. It's something that you imagine would happen. So you're experiencing grief for the peaceful walks that you were hoping would happen. It could be grief for the version of you that you thought you would be. That shift from judgment to curiosity starts to unravel the shame. So when can you look back at your guilt with compassion, you start to create space for healing. So when you can look at your guilt with compassion, you create space for healing. So you might not actually necessarily be feeling that guilt. It could actually be something else going on. And starting to move through it, sit with those feelings, and they are uncomfortable. I've done this myself. It might make you cry. Let the tears flow. Let your body do what it needs to do to release the trauma, to be able to move through it, recognize what you're feeling, and make the move forward. So one gentle takeaway for you here is to remind you that guilt isn't proof that you're failing. It's proof that you care. And if you care this much, you're not the problem, you're the answer. You're showing up, you're learning, and you're trying. Those three things are more than enough. If this episode's hit home for you, I'd love for you to grab my free download, Practical Strategies for Overwhelmed Dog Parents. It is full of simple, calming tools to help you reset when things are feeling hard with your dog. You'll find the link in the show notes. And if you haven't yet, make sure you follow the podcast so you don't miss what's coming next. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast, and I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.